Hey everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We are in season 4. This is episode 33. This episode I titled Step Into His Marvelous Light. So before we get started, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for everything you are doing in our lives, Father God. We just glorify your name. We praise your name. We lift you on high. Father God, that's the least that we can do for everything that you have done for us. Father God, you have brought us through another work week. You have brought us through another day. Father God, you allowed us to see this day, Father God. And we just thank you so much for keeping us, keeping our minds, keeping our bodies, Father God, keeping our health, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify your name because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Father God, I just thank you right now that our souls follow hard after you and we have set you ever before our eyes, Lord, always, that we have set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Father God, I just thank you right now for your word that is about to go forth. Use your vessel, Father God. Hide her behind the cross of Jesus Christ, your son, Father God, so that others may see and hear what you have to say, Father God. Let it be your voice to hear, not hers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. All right, y'all. I hope y'all had a great day, week, wherever you are. It depends on which phrase fits you. But I got a late start with the podcast. It is almost 9 o'clock p.m. Almost, it's 8:54 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday evening, October 26, 2025. And wherever you are in the world, I just hope that your day was good. And if your day was not good, think about the fact that you are still alive. That makes the day good. That makes the day good. You know, I actually had a thought this week, and I'm pretty sure it was Holy Spirit inspired. And it was, the reason you complain is because you have put yourself on the seat of your heart, where God is supposed to be. Because when we put God, we allow God to be God in our lives and he's sitting on the throne of our heart, we really don't complain because he's our source. But when we put ourselves as a source and we put ourselves on that throne of our heart, that's when we start complaining. Think about it. Like, anytime you have complained, it's because you literally were putting yourself as the source. Yeah, you are putting yourself as a source. So when you start to really think about it, because we really don't have any reason to complain. We're not the source. God is. He's the source of our life. He's the source of our strength. He is our source. And we put so many other things as a source. We put money as a source. We put our husbands, our wives as a source. We put our children as a source of our joy, our happiness, or whatever. And as soon as we do that, we become unhappy. We become dissatisfied. We become complainers. And that's because we put something or someone as a source instead of God. So if you have been complaining a lot, you may want to check the source that you're using. Because when you keep God as a source, you don't complain. You're grateful. You have a grateful attitude. All right, that's not what I got on here for, but somebody needed it somewhere. So I took Friday off from work. I'm pretty sure my students are going to hear this. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. Okay, my students, I love my students, and I firmly believe that if you are an educator, then you can attest to this. I firmly believe that God literally chooses the students who need to be in our class, not just so we can be there for them, but so they can minister to us. Let me tell y'all something. My students are reading this book, and I don't want to say the name because somebody might be petty or something or complain about it. So I'm not saying the name of the book. The book was approved anyway. It's an approved book. So anyway, reading a book, and my student comes up to me and she says, Miss Cooper, I actually had two students come up to me. One said, Ms. Cooper, thank you so much for having us read this book because it taught me, it helps me to understand my mother better and why she made the decisions that she made. And it helps me to understand what she went through better. I almost cried on that. She also went into detail about stuff. But anyway, that was just, I was like, wow, because it came out of nowhere. And then it was another student right behind her. She said, Ms. Cooper, yeah, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for having us read this book because it taught me that just when you think it's the end of something, there's something on the other side that's better. I was like, okay, I'm about to run around my classroom and shout a little bit because that was an on-time word. You hear me? Just when you think it's the end, there's something better on the other side. That's how she said it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a whole rhema word for me. And honestly, reading this book, I read this book in 11th grade when I was in the school system here as a student. My first time reading this book was 11th grade, and I loved the book, fell in love with it. But having to read it, because the main character is a woman, and she's 40 something, 40, close enough, whatever. And to read about her journey and her experiences with relationships or whatever, and me now reading it at the same age as the main character, it has blown me away because I really wasn't going to pick this book to read because I was like, no, I got too many boys. I have to explain stuff to them that they don't get, you know, like to make it make sense to them. But my department head was like, no, you teach them. You teach them this book. And I said, okay. But honestly, this book has taught me. This book has been teaching me. And I'm just like, wow. So many correlations between the character, the main character, what she's experienced and what I have experienced. It's been like such a blessing to me. And yeah, that thing stuck with me all week too, what she said. But we had revival at church Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Friday I took off. I took a personal day. I just needed, y'all, I have been on the go. I have been on the go, and it's like ever since, when was it, 2023? I think it was 2023, 2024. The Lord has been dealing with me about resting. And I know, I think it was 2023. It was the beginning of the year, 2023, and I signed up to go somewhere. I went on this speed dating thing, I think. And I think about a week or 2 weeks later, there was a banquet, like this gala that I wanted to go to. And I was getting sick. Like, I was actually not feeling well going to the speed dating thing. And I remember I had a free ticket to the gala. Somebody was like, if you want to go, it's here. And I was like, okay. I was going to go home and start getting ready, but I had a migraine. And I was like, okay, Father, like, if you don't want me to go, then just show me that you don't want me to go. And when I tell you the migraine, it was my head. No, it wasn't a migraine. It was a sinus headache that was getting ready to turn into a migraine. I could barely open my eyes and I was driving. Okay. It was that bad. And I prayed that. No, when I promise you, it was probably about 0.03 seconds later after I said amen, the headache was gone. And I said, well, dog, if you didn't want me to go, why don't you just go? And he said, you never asked me. Just like you never asked me if you could go, if you needed to go to the speed dating thing. I didn't want you to go to that, but I allowed it. Like, Holy Spirit chomped me, not playing. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, like, because in 2022, June of 2022, I had COVID. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me then about resting. Because Holy Spirit was telling me, when if you don't rest, your body is going to put you down every single time. Every single time. And he was saying, like, you're getting older. You got to pay attention to how you feel. You got to know when it's time for you to shut it down. Or it's going to, your body's going to shut you down at the most inconvenient time. And so that day of the gala, I said, you know what? And I went home and I came home and I didn't go. I stayed my behind home and I was mad because I wanted to go. I love getting dressed up and going places, you know? And so, yeah, it was like, Holy Spirit, like, no, you're not going. You want to stay at home and rest. So I stayed home Friday and I rested and it was so nice. It was so nice to rest. Even though I got up, what did I get up for? I was going to get up and go to the gym, but I didn't go to the gym. And I don't know why I didn't go to the gym. I can't remember why I didn't go to the gym, but it was nice. So anyway, I got up and I started cleaning the house though. Well, I tried to. This is what happened, y'all. I promise you, I'm going to get to the scripture. But I pulled the vacuum cleaner out. And for those of you who are just joining, I have a pit bull. She's a pit bull XL, red nose, Stacy Ann Cooper. And she does not like the vacuum cleaner. I mean, a lot of dogs don't. But she was eating her food in her food, like her snack area. Like she has a room, okay? Just she has a room. And she has a snack bed where she eats her snacks. And then she has a little pallet that she takes naps on sometimes, or either that's her timeout area. She has 5 beds in my house. Leave me alone. She took over the couch. I had sat on the couch and I don't know how long. Like, that's her couch, okay? I get the love seat. And then she started trying to take over that too. So she went over to eat her breakfast and I pulled a vacuum cleaner. I was like, okay, I'm gonna vacuum, because she's shedding real bad. You know, the seasons are changing. If you got dogs that shed, I mean, Lord have mercy, help us, okay? She's been shedding real bad. And I was like, I gotta wash her. So I actually did wash her at my mom's house later that afternoon, but that's besides the point. But anyway, I was like, let me vacuum this floor in the living room while she's eating breakfast. That way I can go ahead and knock this out, because I had somewhere to go. So, long story short, I pull the vacuum cleaner out. I start vacuuming. She picks up, because she eats sweet potatoes every day. Like, she loves sweet potatoes. So she picks up the sweet potato piece, goes over to her other bed that's in her snack room. And she's hot, because she's hiding from the vacuum cleaner. And when she got done eating, she peeps around the corner looking at me like, I wish you would stop. Like, I really wish you would put that up, because I'm trying to eat my food. Why are you home? She cannot stand it when I take days off unless I'm in the bed sleeping and that allows her to get extra sleep. But anyway, when I had pulled the vacuum cleaner out, this is the point I wanted to make. when I pulled the vacuum cleaner out, I didn't have the lights on in the house because I love natural light. I love natural sunlight. Like, sunlight is the best. Well, I pulled out the vacuum cleaner and I'm going to work on this floor, and like, I'm looking at it because I don't know about y'all, when you vacuum, like, I have tile floor that looks like wood, but it's tile. And if I turn on the lights in the living room, even if I turn on the lamp too, it's like I can see the dirt, you know, of course, but it's like when there are no lights on, when there are no lights on and it's just the natural sunlight, I see everything clear. I see it all clear. And I'm like, where's all of this dirt and dust? Like, you can see everything with the natural sunlight. Like, natural sunlight is the best light for cleaning. And the Holy Spirit told me, when I realized, I was like, dog, look at that light. The Holy Spirit said, there are different types of light. You have sunlight and you have artificial light. Anything that is not sunlight is artificial. Y'all, he said anything that is not sunlight is artificial. So your lights in your living room, you have your lamp, that's all artificial light. You're not going to see every piece of dirt with artificial light. You can only see all of the dirt with the sunlight. I'm gonna let that sit. You can see a lot of the dirt with artificial light, but you cannot see all of the dirt except with sunlight. Y'all. Then this scripture came to mind. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic version. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Step into his marvelous light. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Son of God. Jesus is light. God is life. God is love. God is light. I mean, I don't even know. It's just so many things, but that's who God is. Even God is El Roy. He's called El Roy because he sees all. He sees everything. It's like equivalent to if you cut all the lights out in your house and you just stood still, God doesn't see the darkness. He only sees light. It's almost like what do they call it? Not infrared light, but like, you know, night vision. You know, night vision, and you walking around in darkness, but it's light to you. I believe that's what it is for God. Like, there is no darkness in him. So he's not on the sea. It's only light. There's only light. Even where is it? Now see, I gotta go on there. I always try to stay in one scripture and I end up having to take a whole like field trip to everything. Where is it? Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So Revelation 22 in verse 5, it says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Because God is light, like Jesus is light. That's where he's the source. He's the source. There is a light source, and it is Jesus. He is the source. He is the light of the world. Jesus, that's where we get the light from. To be, hold on. Jesus says in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. Point blank, period. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 1. In verse 9, actually, you can't read John chapter 1 and verse 9. You got to read the whole thing. But verse 1, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word is capitalized because it's speaking. Jesus is the Word. So that's why it's capitalized, because the Word is a person, Jesus, okay? That's why the Word, the Bible, the Word of God is alive and it's quick. Okay, it's not something that you read. It's not a, I mean, technically it is history book, but it's something that is still relevant to today, to today's times. Like, the Bible is more up to date than today's newspaper, or than it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. So anything you want to know about the state of the world right now, go to the Bible. It's in there. I promise you it is. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Because remember, everything consists in Jesus. Like, hold on, because I can back that verse up too. Hold on. I can't find it. I know what it is, but I don't want to start it and then I mess it up. Hold on. I can't find it, but everything consists in Jesus. Like, because of, that's gonna bother me. I gotta find it. Nothing. I knew it. Okay. Colossians. It's Colossians 1. Okay. Yeah, Colossians 1 and 17 mirrors John 1 and 3. Says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Without him, there is nothing that was made that has been made. Like, you can't make anything without him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, actually, let's go to verse 16. Actually, let's go to verse 15. I sound like my pastor. he was like, go to verse 10. We're going to go back to verse 5. Nah, let's go back to verse 1. Okay, so we're going to read verses 1 through 10. But anyway, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Talking about Jesus. The supremacy of Christ. Talking about Jesus. So there's no way anything that you see was made without Christ. Like, it's, you have to research every single thing. Okay. You have to research every single thing. But that's what he's saying. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. Because Jesus was there with God at the beginning. So is the Holy Spirit. That's why in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That whole remix right there. Okay? Because this is where the Trinity is not mentioned, but it's understood. Because they're the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're the three in one. A lot of people will try to debate, well, the Trinity isn't even mentioned in the Bible. Bible isn't even mentioned in the Bible. So, I mean, what you... That word is not even mentioned in the Bible. You know, it's a lot of things that aren't mentioned, but it's understood. It's called common sense. But anyway, which is not so common in everybody's garden. Okay, so, yeah, this is basically the Trinity. Okay, there's other evidence of the Trinity too, but I don't have time for that. That's not where we're going. But yeah, Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 17 mirror John chapter 1 when verse 3 when it says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we're going to verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness understands it not, does not comprehend it. The darkness does not comprehend the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. Now, if we go over to John chapter 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is just me interpreting just straight off the dome. I could be wrong, Bible scholars. I could be wrong because I am not a Bible scholar. I just love to read, okay? And the Holy Spirit shows me things. But I believe Jesus was saying his physical body. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Because you also have in Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And if we go back to John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay, shall have the light of life. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life of, and the life was the light of men. So, and John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You have the light of life because you have Jesus, and Jesus was the, is the light of the world. He said, as long as he is in the world, he is the light of the world. So now that Jesus has died and risen again, he gave us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And because the Holy Spirit is a part of that Trinity, the God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, that is where the light comes from. It's Jesus living in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, because they're three in one. Okay, so that's where the light comes from. And because we got the light of Jesus, because he's the light of life. He is the light of life. We have light. And so we are the light of the world now. Because remember, in the Bible, it tells us that we are engrafted into the family of God. And that we are no longer slaves, but we are heirs. And joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. That means we're connected. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. We can't abide by ourselves or we'll die. We have to stay connected to the vine. That makes us the joint heir. Because we're connected to Jesus. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. So as long as we stay connected to Jesus, therefore, we now have him as our source of life. He is the life of light. He is the life of light. Okay? He is the life, which is the light of men. And therefore, we are the light of the world now. Because Jesus is not physically here with us. In the spirit, yes. Because he lives in our hearts, he's here with us in spirit. But physically, no. His body is no longer walking the earth. So because of that, now we have inherited the light. Because we have accepted him into our hearts. And we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why did I go through all that? Because when we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. We show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were called into that marvelous light that is the light of men. It's the life of light of men. That's the light. And the thing is, we may have thought we were walking in light, we were really walking in darkness. And where is the verse? There is a verse in the Bible where it speaks about darkness. And I'm probably gonna mess it up. I can't remember where it is right now. But It says, it says something to the effect of, if the eye is dark. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of data on light and how it affects the eyes. Okay. Think I found it. Let me see. Okay, here we go. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus was speaking, and he was telling people, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because these treasures don't last. Like, you got rust, you have moths that'll eat it up. It's like people are breaking and steal your stuff. Like, don't put your trust in treasures. Don't put everything you have into what you can make and earn. Like, don't do that. He said it's better to focus and put your treasure, lay your treasure up in heaven. Basically, don't focus so much on the physical. Yes, take care of your body. Yeah, enjoy life, you know, like travel, see the world. But that shouldn't be your primary goal, because all of that stuff goes away. It goes away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it goes away. There's no eternal value on those things. Those things are put here on earth for us to enjoy while we're here. But being alive in this human body is only for a second. Compared to eternity, this is like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction when it comes to eternity. You're going to spend more time being in the spirit realm than you are in the physical realm. Like, you're going to spend more time being dead than you are alive. That, I hope that's not too harsh. But I mean, it's seriously. We get at most, what, 60? What does it say? 60 and maybe 10. So that's what, 60, 70 years? Maybe 80 years? Some people, the Lord allowed them to get over 100. But let's say you get to live to be 100. 100 years compared to eternity, where there's one day in the Lord that says 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is this one day. Compared to 100 years on earth, like being in a physical body on earth, and the physical body decay. It just, y'all, I think I told y'all about my knee. I got a shot in my knee. They talk about I got arthritis in my knee. Y'all, I'm not 40. I boohoo cried in orthopedics office. Not because of the giant needle that they were sticking into my knee. I was crying because they said I had arthritis and I'm not 40. I was boo-hoo crying. My mom was like, Stephanie, it's going to be. I was like, but I'm old. Y'all, like, seriously, it's insane. It is insane. So, and I'm 39. Body is already like, all right now. Don't be doing all that running and jumping and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's what happens. So that's what Jesus is saying. Like, we're focusing so much on trying to get all this money, accumulating wealth, being a content creator, doing all that. Put your focus on Jesus. That's why he later goes on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Secure your life for the afterlife first. Secure yourself and know where you're going when you die. Know where you're going when you die. Because at any time, your number could be pulled. Like, that's very sobering. Knowing that one day, your song gonna get played and you gonna have to go to the flow. Like, that's one day your song is gonna get played. One day your number is gonna be called and you gonna have to report. That's life. And it makes us sad when we think about, we don't like to think about that one day we won't have our parents here anymore, or our siblings won't be here anymore. Our pets won't be here anymore. Everything has an expiration date in this world. And that's what Jesus was talking about. So anyway, verse 21. Oh my gosh. It's so much stuff in the Bible. And it's like all of it is good. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Whatever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So then he goes into verse 22 and Jesus says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So wait a minute. How can he say, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness"? How can darkness have light? That is such a great question. And honestly, if you think about it, nothing is truly dark. I honestly feel like if we cut all the lights out, if we had absolute darkness in this world, we would not make it. If we had absolute darkness, physical darkness, because it's a lot of darkness in this. Spiritually, it's dark. It is pitch black almost spiritually, okay? And during this time period in the world. But physically, if it was completely dark, I'm talking about no street lights, no stars, no moon, everything was dark, I honestly do not feel like we would be able to survive past 5 minutes. Like, dark, absent of light. And I was gonna go through all this is just a little treasure hunt here. Genesis chapter 1. Sound like y'all listen to the Bible app and read it. And that's how they read it. Genesis chapter 1. And it says in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day with a capital D, and the darkness he called night with a capital N. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Here's the thing. You have that light, and then you have in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, that's the moon and the stars. And God set them in the firmament, which is the sky of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day, and day here is the lowercase, and over the night, and night here is lowercase. And to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So we have two different light, like we have a set of two different sets of lights, okay? One set, well, I should say we have two sets of light and darknesses. Lights and y'all know what I'm trying to say. We have two sets, okay? One set belongs in the firmament, which is the sky. Firmament is just a big word for sky, okay? Let me look this up. Okay, so and see, this is why I love the King James Version, because you're not, the King James Version is the most, it's the closest one to the original translation. Because see, when you start going to the different translations, the first sets of light where God called the light day and the darkness night, that is not capitalized when I go to the Amplified Version or any other version. It's not capitalized. So, the light that we're speaking of in the first part, that is like God's light. That is That, and it's capitalized day. See, the second part, all the other set of light and darkness, those things are lowercase. This is all capitalized. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And basically, this is not where I plan on going, because I did not get all of this studying in, but y'all bear with me. So when God kicked Satan out of heaven, one third of the angel population was kicked out also, because they decided to follow Satan, who was known as Lucifer in heaven, right? So where did he kick them out to? Earth. So Earth was already formed. It was already, like, this was already here. Hell was not invented for humans to go to when they died. That was for Satan and his angels. Okay? A lot of people get them mixed up. But yeah, they were kicked out here. So it was a lot of darkness here before God got started. And honestly, I would have to go back and ask my pastor, but we have spoken on this so many times, like in Bible study, my pastor has gone over this. But, and I don't want to say anything wrong. However, there was a lot of darkness here before. That's why God had to separate the light from the night, like the day from the night. Okay. It also says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What darkness? How can darkness already be here? That's because the angels and Satan were already here. And God was separating. God separate. That's why, like it said, like the darkness does not comprehend. And also in John chapter 1, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's John 1 verse 5. Because the light, if we look, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Okay? So when Jesus steps on the scene, the darkness can't comprehend it. So it's a separation. So that's what was happening at the beginning of time. Before time began, before time was time, this is what was going on. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. But that's what was going on. So what does that have to do with my experience vacuuming? Because when Jesus comes on the scene into your life, what you thought you was cleaning up, you weren't clean. That's, oh my gosh. We cannot clean up ourselves. So when people, if you have ever said, or if anybody is listening right now, and you feel like you got to clean up your life before you come to church, before you come into fellowship with the body of Christ, that is a lie from the enemy. You can't ever be clean. You have to have Jesus in order to be clean. There's nothing that you can do to clean yourself up. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do to clean yourself up. That's a lie from the enemy to keep you from coming to the knowledge and fullness of Jesus Christ. He wants you to feel like you're dirty and you're, yeah, you are. We all are. Our righteousness is as a filthy rag. And I know it's in Isaiah. Hold on. Hold on. It's in Isaiah. Give me a second. Yep. Said, Isaiah 1 and 18. I'm probably going to have to go up a little bit further. No, 1 and 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen. The only one who can purify you and cleanse you and make you clean is Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything. That's why it ties into all of the dust and dirt that I saw on my floor with the sunlight. Because when the sun lights up your life, everything gets exposed. There is no darkness in him. There is nothing hidden in him. Nothing hidden that is like, there's nothing. You can't hide anything. You can't. There's nothing that can be hidden in darkness because the darkness can't understand the light. The light is Jesus because he is the light of men. He's the light of life and the light of men. So therefore, the light of Jesus, once it comes into your life, it starts exposing. And it may not expose everything at one time, but it starts purging and pushing out the darkness. That's what happens when you let Jesus come into your heart fully and completely. And I know for a fact, because let me tell you something, y'all. Let me tell you. Jesus had to come in and do a whole recon on my life. Like, reconstruction. Tear it all down. But he didn't do it all at one time. See, that's the thing. A lot of people, like, because I was one of those people when I got to college, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be in church for the rest of my life. Let me just live my life now and have my fun and just do what I want to do. But let me tell you, if you are in college and you are saying that, you're talking about you'll give your life to Christ, let me tell you, it's a bunch of 20-something, 30-something year olds dropping dead every day. I have never seen this. The only time I heard when somebody died is when they were 70, 80 years old. Had a full life. It's people, teenagers, 20-year-old, just dropping dead. You don't have time to put off accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have time. No one has that luxury anymore. It was never a luxury. That's the crazy thing. Satan felt, being human, and also the deception of Satan made us believe we had time. We never really had time. It was all the grace of God. It was the grace of God that kept us alive to allow us to have the time to get to him. But we really never, ever had time. That's a lie. It was deception to keep us out there longer. So with that being said, you don't have time because choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Like, don't harden your heart. Accept Jesus today because he is the light and he is going to expose the dark places in your life. But he does it with grace. He's not just coming like a tyrant and just, no, he's a gentleman. He'll be like, okay, I'll wait. But just know it's while I'm waiting, you can't move forward until that stuff come up. So you're going to either come up off of it or we just going to sit here and look at each other. You know, I'll get somebody else to do what I'm calling you to do because you don't want to give up what it is that you're refusing to give up. I know from experience. And let me tell you something. He can outweigh you. He will outweigh you. Okay? Like, I mean, seriously, the Holy Spirit said anything that is not the sunlight is artificial. It's fake. Think about how many times you have cleaned your house and you looking around like, oh, everything clean. But when that sunlight hit and you start looking at different angles and you see all the clumps of fur balls and dust and dander, you're like, wait a minute, I just cleaned with bleach. Still not clean enough. Until the sunlight hits, or unless the sunlight hits, unless it's the sunlight, it's artificial, it's fake, it's giving you a false sense of reality. using artificial light gives you a false sense of reality. Until you get the natural sunlight, until you get that sunlight in your life, you're still, it's not going to happen. Like, you're not going to be clean. Like, y'all, let me get off of here. Whew, let me get off of here. Because this can go. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you right now, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know if this is that one more chance. Because I feel like there is somebody who's listening. It's been people coming up and saying and offering Jesus to you, and you keep turning away. Don't let this be the last time you get offered Christ. Like, you ever get warned a couple of times before you do something and then you do it anyway? How did that work out for you? Of course, I can't hear your response, but I'm pretty sure some of y'all dropped your head. Yeah, it didn't work out too well, did it? If you are under the sound of my voice, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would like to extend the invitation. And I would like to pray with you. And the thing is, it's not, you're just going to say a prayer, but you got to believe it. That's the whole Bible. Do you realize the whole Bible, the whole world, this whole world was created with word, spoken word. That's how powerful the words we speak are. God spoke a word. Let there be. Let there be. He spoke a word and it happened. Because it's full of life. Our words are full of life. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Confess your sins. Believe that Jesus is God's son who died for your sins. And then you ask him to come into your life as your savior. So I would like to lead you in prayer, because I just feel like there is somebody listening and you need to accept Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, this is what's going to happen. First of all, the Bible tells us that the angels rejoice when someone accepts Christ. Like, angels rejoice. They rejoice. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And not that that's not the truth. I'm going to be real is what I'm saying. It's hard. Walking with Christ is not easy. Sometimes you feel like, what did I sign up for? Because as soon as you accept Jesus Christ, you get put in God's army. Whether you realize it or not, you signed up to war. You signed up to fight in the spirit. Walking with Christ is not a walk in the park. It's not all rainbows and roses and butterfly. It's not, oh, I get a brand new house and a car. It's none of that. No. You do see some benefits, and the ultimate benefit is you go to heaven when you transition, but it's ministry. Your life is no longer your own. Your life actually never was your own. It's just that when you accept Jesus, you give him your life instead of living for Satan, because that's technically what you do before you accept Jesus. You're living for Satan. You can only serve one master. You got two masters. One is Jesus. One is Satan. If you're not serving Jesus, guess who you're serving? Okay? So that's something to know. Also, you may lose some friends. You may lose some family members. And when I say lose them, they may stop talking to you. You may feel like you're lonely. Like it can be lonely on this road, but you're not alone. You got Jesus with you. You got your angels with you. And he'll put people in your life to encourage you and to strengthen you with the word of God. But you have to study your word. That's one thing. You have to study your word. You can say this prayer. I say this prayer every time somebody goes up to the altar to get saved. But it's walking by faith, not by sight. It's faith without works is dead. You have to walk this thing out. You have to walk this thing out. You gotta walk it out, and you need to be under a covering. You're going to have to join a local body of Christ somewhere where they are preaching the word of God unadulterated. They're not with the foolishness, not with all of this foolery that goes on in church nowadays. You got to get in the word, and you got to find a local body of Christ and join up with them, because you are not going to make it by yourself. Because once you, let me tell you something, you say this prayer, the enemy is after you. He not worried about you right now because he got you. You right now, even while I'm talking about it, you struggling with doing this. You're struggling. That's the enemy trying to get you. Well, nah, you got to give this up. You got to give that up. Let me tell you something. I'd rather give up my heart's, what I want the most, my heart's desire. And y'all already know what it is that I give that up to follow Jesus and know that I'm going to heaven, knowing that I'm doing his will and for my life. I'm fulfilling purpose, because that's what it's all about, is fulfilling purpose. My life is a ministry. This is how this podcast came into being. This is a ministry. I didn't choose to do this. He told me to go to Target, get a microphone. You're doing a podcast. What? Okay. My life is not my own. It's not. I have lost a lot of things. I gave up a lot of things. Some things, it was like, okay, cool, I'll get it up. Some things were hard. It was hard to get it up. Some dreams, some desires, I had to give it up, and I didn't want to. But it's like, he said, follow me. He didn't say, okay, follow me after you get done with that. No, it was follow me. Choose ye this day. Death and life are presented to you right now. You're either going to choose life, which is Jesus, or you're going to remain in your sin and death. That's where we are at this point. Because I feel like it's somebody, it might be more than one person, I feel like you're struggling. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you for months. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you for months, and you keep ignoring him. And he said, this is it. This is the last time. Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, when the Holy Spirit says, this is the last time, I have gotten a little bit better. I don't get to that point where he says, this is the last time, as much as I used to. Because I try to wait the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, this is the last time I'm telling you. Okay, I'm moving. I have grown a little bit. It's not everything that I do that with. But let me tell you something. This is your life. This is it right here. If you feel led to say this prayer, say this prayer. You don't have to shout it from the rooftop. You don't have to shout it on the megaphone. If you are in your office, if you're in your home, if you're on a subway, if you're on a bus, you can just say this prayer under your breath, and Jesus hears you, because he's sitting right there next to you. He hears you. And what's probably happening right now is people are trying to knock on the door, distractions, all of this, and you're like, I'll come back to it. Do not put this off. Do not put this off. I'm telling you right now, because it is a war going on, and I can see it. It's a war going on for your soul It is a war going on right now, and the enemy is not happy because he knows that the Holy Spirit is working on you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come against every distraction. I come against every plot, plan, and scheme to keep you from speaking the name of Jesus into your life right now. So we're going to go ahead and say this prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father God, for this time, Father. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. Y'all repeat it with me. Repeat it after me. I know I am a sinner. I believe Jesus is your son and that he died for my sins and that you raised him on the third day to life. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins and I choose to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day forward. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, welcome to the army of God. My brother, my sister in Christ. The angels are rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing right now. Oh, thank you, Father God, for the souls who have given their lives to you. Father, I just thank you right now for keeping them, Father. I thank you, Father God, for the decision that they have made. Father God, I thank you that you have shown yourself strong and mighty in their lives, Father God. Father God, I just thank you right now for keeping them. Thank you for protecting them, Father God. I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now and come against every attack, every retaliating spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I just thank you for your covering over them. Father God, protect them as they go throughout their day. Protect their families and anyone connected to them, Father God. Father God, I thank you right now for filling them up with the Holy Spirit, Father. I thank you for leading them to a local body of Christ, Father, that preaches your word unadulterated. Father God, I thank you for putting people in their path that can strengthen them and encourage them in your word. Father God, I just thank you right now for the burning desire, Father God, to get to know you through your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing them to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father God, I thank you right now that they seek you first above all else, Father God. Thank you for allowing the word to satisfy their souls, Father God. Thank you for allowing the word to take root, Father. Thank you for allowing your word to burden them, Father God. And be a fire in their heart, Father God. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now for the cross. I thank you for dying for our sins, Father God. For your son dying for our sins. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit filling us and refreshing us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I just want to tell y'all thank y'all so much for joining this week. And I want to tell y'all thank you for tuning in every single week. I thank you so much. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to my YouTube. And you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Bless the She That Believe. And I have my website. You can go and purchase books. You can go and listen to some of the podcasts. Trying to do some things and get some things going. It's a lot, but I'm trying to get everything going and upstart and consistent with the posting and everything like that. So anyway, I hope y'all have a great day or night, wherever y'all are, and I will talk to y'all later. Love you. Bye.